Podcast 27, Waiting for God. The Gospel reading for this podcast is Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. Today I want to share some thoughts about the Gospel reading from Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. This is a parable about being prepared and about waiting. How good are you at waiting? Reminds me of a story about a church minister who dies and is waiting in line at the pearly gates to see St. Peter. The queue is quite long, and so he waits and he waits. Finally, he's next in line to St. Peter at the pearly gates. Ahead of him is a flashy-looking guy dressed in sunglasses, a loud shirt, leather jacket and jeans. St. Peter addresses the man, "Who are you, so that I may know whether or not to admit you to the kingdom of heaven?" The man replies, "I'm Joe Cohen, taxi driver of New York City." St. Peter consults his list. He smiles and says to the taxi driver, "Take this silken robe and golden staff and enter the kingdom of heaven." The taxi driver goes into heaven with his robe and staff, and it's the minister's turn. He stands erect and says clearly, "I am Joseph Snow, pastor of St. Peter's Church, New Hampshire, for the last 43 years. St. Peter consults his list, and then he says to the minister, "Take this cotton robe and wooden staff and enter the kingdom of heaven." "Hang on a minute," says the minister. "That man was a taxi driver, and he gets a silken robe and a golden staff. What's going on here?" St. Peter answered, "Up here, we look at results. While you preached, people dozed. While he drove, people prayed." The parable of the 10 virgins is one of several parables Jesus tells just before the final events of the crucifixion and resurrection. In Matthew 26, verses 1 and 2, when Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away. The Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." So this parable of the 10 virgins is part of the final teaching series of discourses that Jesus expounds to his disciples. All three parables in Matthew 25 are similar in theme, but different in details. Now, to understand this parable, we also need some background on Jewish weddings of Jesus' time. Even today, Jewish weddings usually involve a procession. Weddings were a big deal in Jesus' time, with the celebrations going on for 2 to 3 days, and sometimes as long as a week, depending on how wealthy the bride's family was. Bridal processions were so important that later rabbis even suspended their teaching lectures so they could hail and acknowledge a passing bride. Wedding processions were from the bride's home to the groom's home, accompanied by singing and dancing, and this normally happened at night, and hence required light. No street lights in first century Judea. The lamps in ancient weddings were probably not the small household hand lamps used indoors, as these would not shine enough light at night to be useful. Probably the lamps being talked about were torches, usually sticks wrapped with oiled rags, as used in traditional Palestinian Arab weddings today. Containers of oil attached to the wrist were usually taken along to pour over the rags in order to keep enough oil on the rags to keep them burning. Women torchbearers would usually lead the bride to the bridegroom's home, joined by the groom and his male friends. The bridesmaids would wait outside the bride's home for his coming and then be part of the procession to escort her to his home. To participate in their friend's wedding was a great honour. As virgins, these young women were in a sense practising for their own impending weddings around the age of 12 to 16. To have spoiled the wedding for their friend by failing to do their part of providing her with both light and an escort was a disgrace and shame for the young woman, as well as a great insult to everyone else at the wedding. So what are the insights this parable contains? In this particular parable, the issue is not that the virgins went to sleep. waiting for the bridegroom. Both the wise young woman and the foolish did so. This detail is merely part of the narrative setting. The issue is that some were not watchful and prepared enough to have any extra oil. Some commentators suggest that these procession torches could only burn for 15 minutes before the rags would need refreshing with oil. The message from this element of the parable is that wise disciples remain vigilant for Jesus' return, and we should not lose heart if Jesus does not return as quickly as we expect him to. Certainly the early church expect Jesus to return within their lifetime. For example, in 1 Peter 4:7, Peter notes, "The end of all things is near." Nearly 2,000 years later, we are still waiting for Jesus to return. That's a considerable wait. In the previous chapter of Matthew, Jesus states plainly, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." So God the Father is the only one who knows when Jesus' return will occur. And this is reinforced by Jesus at the end of this parable when he says in verse 13, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." The wise virgin's unwillingness to share their oil reflects their concern for their friend's wedding. Since they had only enough for their own torches, sharing would cause all the torches to be extinguished, ruining the whole procession and bringing shame on them and their families. The message from this element of the parable is, those who are unprepared for Christ's banquet are at risk of exclusion. Then the foolish virgins come back from buying the oil they needed, and they find they've been shut out from the wedding feast. This is a similar theme to the two following parables, the parable of the bags of gold and the parable of the sheep and the goats. Exclusion and judgment are not themes that sit comfortably with us in this day and age. We are much more comfortable with the idea that God wants to be inclusive, to be loving and kind, to be merciful to everyone. Yet in this parable, and the two others in this chapter of Matthew's Gospel, one of the key take-home messages is about judgment and exclusion. Part of the multifaceted and difficult nature of God that we find hard to understand is this mix of love and judgment. How are these elements compatible? A famous quote from Mother Teresa says, "If you judge people, you have no time to love them." But these kinds of quotes are talking about us as frail humans and our tendency to judge others. In this parable, the bridegroom is represented as God, and God is perfectly able to love as well as judge perfectly. This is something beyond our human comprehension. Justice and judgment are inextricably linked. God is a just God, and justice requires judgment. Otherwise, it is not justice. But the difference between our human experience of justice and God's justice is huge. I think the message from this element of the parable is God is just, and that God's justice is perfect. I don't think that means we need to revert to some kind of hellfire and damnation narrative to try and scare people into belief, which won't work anyway. I do think that God is a God of justice means that we Christians, as children of God, should be champions for causes which cry out for justice and fairness. So what does this mean for any of us today? Can we do each day one act of obedience that reminds us what this parable means? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of my favourite Christian authors and martyr, once said, "One act of obedience is better than 100 sermons." So as wise disciples, how can we remain vigilant for Jesus' return and not be caught out like the five foolish virgins? Perhaps one thing we can do is to remind ourselves at the start of each day as part of our prayers and devotions for the day, to include in that, Jesus might come today. Help me to be ready, Lord. Then live each day as if that was a real possibility. Because if you're living each day as if Jesus could come during that day, then when he does come, you'll be ready.